Hey friends, have you ever been curious as what exactly would happen if you are in the woods and it's the middle of winter, your adventuring party is low on food, and there's a bauer?
Here?
I have no idea how to say that. But we've got a hag, and we are specifically looking at a bauer hag. I'm going to say it like that. Please let me know in the comments if that's wrong. And if we're in the wilderness, we're in winter, and we're dealing with one of these specific types of hags, we run the risk of horrific, selfish atrocities really coming across the party. Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. Thank you for joining me. My name is Greg. I just wanted to take a look at some hags. I did the troll video the other day, and that was something that was the most successful video that I've done to date. And I started looking at it like there's a need here for an intelligent encounters for potentially common monsters. And that is what prompted somebody else to basically make a comment about all the hags. And so here we are. So it's not going to have all the hags, but this one is going to have the Bjorhag, whatever. And I think they're interesting, very, very cruel. And you know, we'll get into exactly how I would personally think that this should be used. But to start, before we get into that, if you could take a second to like, subscribe, download, follow, do a rain dance. You know, everything I've always said to help out with the channel, I appreciate it. We're up to about 270 subscribers on YouTube. We're just shy of 1,000 downloads monthly for the podcast, and so I just wanted to say thank you to each and every single one of you that makes that possible. Okay, well, with that out of the way, let's take a look a little bit about the lore here. So, a bauer hag's skin has the bluish hue of a person who is frozen to death. The hag's hair is white, and the hag is emaciated, with pale eyes surrounded by bruise-colored flesh. The hag carries a twisted gray wooden staff that can be ridden like a flying broom, and that augments the hag's magic. We'll get a little bit more into that in just a second. They're attracted to selfish actions inspired by deadly cold, such as murdering a traveler for a winter coat or chopping down a dryad's grove for firewood. These actions are especially sweet to a bauer hag and are if they are unwarranted, such as a greedy merchant hoarding excessive food for the winter while everybody else starves. And so you were looking at a creature that relishes in getting individuals to damage and or betray those closest to them. In combat, the hag is going to strive to inspire horror, and the easiest way for them to do that is by basically feeding on the corpse of a recently slain foe. And obviously that would be something that would terrify most witnesses. So let's take a look real quick at some of the stats. Armor class 17, hit points 91, and it can fly and hover with the gray staff. Real quick about hover. So if you're flying and somebody... you know, as I sit here and think about it, I should probably do an entire episode on flight. All right, we'll just add that to the list. Anyways, flying basically means that you can obviously move throughout the space. But at any point, if your speed drops to zero, you plummet to the ground. So if you can get onto a back of a dragon, for instance, and then grab it, as long as you're, you know, one size smaller than it is, then you would be able to land or ground the dragon because you have grappled it, which means its speed is reduced to zero. Once its speed is reduced to zero, it can no longer fly, it falls. Hover, on the other hand, allows a creature that has the hover ability to stay stationary in the air. So if you, for instance, I'm going off of memory here, but I'm pretty sure beholders have hover, but if you were to try and grapple a beholder, it's still gonna stay floating in the air. It's not just gonna crash to the ground. And that's the difference, or that's the thing that hover does, is it allows you to still be in flight with zero speed. So again, we'll get into a little bit about that. Some pretty basic statistics here. It looks like charisma is going to be the spellcasting modifier, as well as has some basic survival skills, nature, perception, stealth, survival, that type of thing. All right, so first thing that it can do, it has the ability to cast control weather, requiring no components at all, and it can do that once every single day. So that's not a spell slot or anything along those lines. It's just a ability. Also has gray staff magic, and so that is specifically the staff that it holds, and it can use the flying speed only while astride the staff. If the staff is lost or destroyed, the hag must craft another, which takes a year and a day. And then only the hag can utilize the gray staff that it makes. So, no, you can't steal the staff from the hag. Although, there's an opportunity here where you could potentially use that as a way to say that the staff is actually a broom of flying. If you wanted to give that to your party, then that's obviously something that you could do. Has the ability to ice walk, which means it can move across ice and climb icy surfaces without needing an ability check. And then it actions. It can make two slam attacks and two frost shard attacks on its turn. I should say, or. So two slam, two frost shards. Slam is going to be standard, just melee weapon attack. You can RP it as though the staff is hitting, or you could RP it as the actual hag itself is just punching people. Does a significant amount of cold damage after the actual bludgeoning damage. And then Frost Shard is a ranged spell attack of 60 feet. Does a lot of cold damage, 68. And then it's going to reduce the speed like some other similar frost type items. And then you have the Horrific Feast action as well, which is instead, it just takes a break and has a snack, but the snack is, you know, potentially one of your dead party members. And that is something that would frighten others because they have seen that. When they're frightened, they are incapacitated, which means they have no actions, no reactions, nothing. They cannot understand what others say, they can't read, and you can only speak in gibberish. So, yes, it's frightened, but it's a little bit more than that. Frightened only gives you a disadvantage if you're in the sight of the creature that you're afraid of and you can't approach it. So, it still has that. But it's also making it so you have no actions, you can't read, you can't talk, and you have no idea what somebody else is saying. You get the opportunity to repeat the saving throw at the end of every one of your turns. And if you are successful, you are immune to that particular hag's horrific feast for the next 24 hours. The hag also has the ability to spell cast. And so, with the staff in hand, or riding it. So you don't have to be riding it or standing and whatnot. As long as she's in possession of that staff in whatever ways it would work, then she is able to use the gray staff magic, which is what the spellcasting section is here. And that's hold person at will, cone of cold, ice storm, and wall of ice, and each one of those can be done once per day. Okay, so we got a lot going on here. We have obviously the hag, we have the staff that she's utilizing, which is where a lot of her magic comes from, and the ability that it grants is going to be a lot of basically cold-based spells, damages, attacks, things along those lines. So to make this into a little bit more of a cohesive side quest for the group, I think that this is something that would be a great opportunity for a random travel encounter. Typically speaking, travel in D&D sucks. And we'll put a card here so that way you can see the video that I made. I should say the podcast episode, I'll link it. That I talked about some things that we can do to try and help alleviate that. But this is an instance where I think the idea of the travel itself being his own self-contained side quest actually makes travel a little bit more bearable. A lot of times, what ends up happening is we end up going on this travel, and then the consequences for failing something just make it longer, but nobody really wants to be there. And random encounters, personally for me at least, when I do a random encounter, I feel like all I'm really doing is just putting filler in there to prevent the party from getting where they need to go. But if I've built it into like a quest type format where the actual encounter is part of a quest that they can, I guess they could technically ignore it, but they would be able to go into and solve, it makes it a little bit easier for me to run it. And then hopefully that makes it a little bit easier for the party to actually enjoy that particular aspect of travel. So in this one, we are traveling from any location to any other location. And the winter is actually magical. So it's the middle of summer when it starts off. Everybody's warm and fine. There's no problems. And then as we progress through and go to the next area, they come across an unnatural area of winter. And that unnatural area is specifically this hag's territory. And what we are going to find is that she is consistently doing things to the party, but staying hidden. So she has pluses to stealth. And so she could be taking food at night. She could be infiltrating and going and, putting somebody's bedroll in water. So that way, when they wake up in the morning, it's frozen and they have to deal with those consequences. And the idea here is we're almost trying to be a little bit mischievous. So the hag is chaotic evil, and we want to lean into that. We want to lean into that chaos, and we want to try and basically start creating infighting within the party so that way that the tensions are higher between everybody involved. As we've done that, they are going to slowly start to recognize that this hag or some other entity is really the thing that's attacking them or playing games with them. And when I think of summer fae, I'm going to think of mirthful, energetic, trying to have fun, maybe not being good, but just in general, it's all about jokes and potential deceptions and things along those lines. When I think about a hag like this, I'm thinking more of a winter fae. Obviously, it can cast much more cold-based type spells. And that's going to be a lot more cruel and bitter and manipulative. And that's, again, that's just something for myself so that way I can have a better understanding of the two differences there. And I think that that's a good way to kind of wrap your head around it. And that's kind of what we want to lean into. We're still chaotic, we're still a fae, but we're much more cruel and bitter, and we're trying to sow discord within this party. After they have started to recognize something's going on and something's kind of playing games with them, that's when we are going to allow them to potentially track the hag. And as they do things and look around, maybe they chase off into the distance, whatever it is, we want to start slowly removing some of those. So she's going to start stealing stuff that they need. So start stealing their tinderbox, start stealing their torches, start stealing campfire wood. And we are going to be utilizing her ability to do that as our way to basically cause the party to start to slowly fall into this panic of, hey, it's really cold, and if we don't have a way to start a fire, we're going to have a problem. Kind of lean into that. Now, obviously, if you have like create bonfire and other things along those lines, then it's not as big of a deal. But the idea, you get the idea. It's your game. Figure out exactly how you want to make that work. The party ends up tracking her down. After they are able to track her down, they encounter that she has done this repeatedly, over and over again. There are varying corpses all over the place at her little hut that she lives in. The corpses are outside where they are completely frozen solid because that's the way she likes them. And we've got some that are a few days old. We have some that have probably been here frozen solid for years. All of them look like they have been gnawed on and chewed, and she's eaten them, but they all also still have some semblance of what they used to be. The party engages. We're going to utilize our abilities here for flight to fly around outside of our hut and cast our ranged attacks from on top of our gray staff. And so we're going to be looking at hitting them with frost shards when possible. You could also get close and hit them with a slam as you basically do a drive-by. But we're going to hit them with frost shards from a distance, slow everybody down. And then as the hag is, I don't want to say slowly losing health, but once we're a few rounds in, she's going to, and has led the party away. So she's going to kind of like lead the party away from the hut a little bit. And then she's going to go and land, pull the horrific feast on whichever enemy it is that it is that you're looking at, potentially having her utilize, old, new, whatever feels great for you, and then utilize that horrific feast. And now the party's kind of far away from the hut. And again, if you fail, you're afraid, so you've got the frightened condition. You can't approach her while you have that frightened condition. And so we're going to basically create this bottleneck or this separation between where the hag is and where the party is, and make the engagement a much harder process for the party. Once that's all done, and the hag has been defeated, then at that point we are going to find a plot hook of some kind. And that plot hook is going to be an individual from a party that you, or from a town that you've met before, and they went off on an expedition. Maybe where you were going, somebody else was sent and was lost, and so you were going to find them. You just want to find a way to kind of wrap all of those things together. And so we want to find a basis or a plot hook that is going to allow us to tie this into the overarching quest that we're doing. They get to the destination that they're trying to get, and then they can report, and then that area's local police or law enforcement, guards, whatever it is that they have, is able to then go out, dispatch, find the bodies. The winter goes away, and then they're able to bury the bodies and move on from there. And so that's one of those things that I think if we are being specific with our travel, then we have a better idea of what that travel will end up being. It's not random, and it gives us a chance to really formulate a good idea for where we're going as far as the actual travel quest is concerned, and allows that to be a little bit more streamlined than just, oops, you failed a check, now you have to be in travel longer, which honestly, I don't enjoy running it that way. If I'm playing as a playing a character, I wouldn't enjoy playing it that way either. So everybody's different. If your party loves travel, they're crazy, but that's great. And if you enjoy running travel and they like travel, then hey, have a Lord of the Rings travel from here to there type of game. But I would absolutely not want to play in that game. So all right, well, that's the encounter and the side quest for the week. Again, you do have some pretty nice spells here. Cone of Cold, Ice Storm, and then Wall of Ice. Those are additional ways for us to work the battlefield. And those additional ways for us to work the battlefield allow us to have a little bit more control over exactly how that, you know, encounter is going to go. So don't forget about your spells. Don't forget about eating dead people. And then, as always with this type of thing, I think that this is something that you got to be very careful with. We want to make sure that we've gone over some potential ideas of body horror for our session zero, so that way the actual party is not surprised and then completely freaked out because we have done what it is that we've done, which is basically eat some dead people. So that's another caveat just to make sure you're thinking of and being conscious of. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thank every single one of you. I appreciate you all. And as always, let's let the dice decide.